Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle. So we have an update on Corey Feldman from last episode.
Actually,
so Wayne checked out the website I recommended. So that was Vice.com, right?
Yes, yes. Or yeah. I think it was Vice.com, or that's where the article first appeared, but I don't remember if I saw it on the Vice.com website.
Come on. I want my Feldman.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, tying it into the month of horror, because, yeah, some of those pictures were pretty scary. As you said in the last one, if you had the kind of money to spend to go to a party like that, why would you not go to one with more cred? I don't know.
It's actually pretty creepy if you took those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had like a vampire game or something, and it's like you walk in and this is what you see. And it's like, oh, something's not right.
Actually,
something is terribly trashy here.
Those pictures would be an incredible prop for a vampire game. You just like, yep, you walk in and the party is this. Okay, sirens are going off in my head, red lights are flashing. Oh man, this is going to end up like the beginning of Blade. So.
Yeah, except what's with the unflattering light?
Except the vampires, you know, they have kind of this mystique and classiness and elegance about them that these pictures contain none of those things.
No, they could be the blood dolls.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like the broken pool table full of, like, old books and crap on top of it?
Yeah. You know what? Chris refuses to watch True Blood, but...
Not refuse. It's actually next on my list.
Okay,
I'm Chris. I'm just 10 years behind my movies.
Okay, Chris hasn't watched True Blood, but, you know, the kind of the... chick who runs or helps run Fangtasia, what's her name, Ginger?
Yeah.
That kind of, I saw a lot of her in the women in those photos. So, yeah, Blood Dolls totally works.
And then we got to listen to some of his music because we went onto the Corey Feldman website.
Yes, yeah. Again, speaking of scary, that was even more horrific.
And when Lyle says get to listen, it's not really a matter of get to, it's forced.
Yeah,
to,
it was forced.
It turns
to.
On when you go to the website.
Yeah. I made the mistake of going to it while I was editing the last episode, and so I had like those big DJ headphones on, and like just the sound just started blasting through my head. I was like, "Oh God, make it stop!" It was not pleasant, not pleasant at all.
Yeah, I guess Corey Feldman did a movie too, from the looks of it, in 2012. Though it's still the top billing on his website.
Yeah, it beat out. Dancing on Ice?
Well, of course. Dancing on Ice was a while ago.
Dancing on Ice Season 7.
Yeah, it's called 6 Degrees of Hell, and it apparently has a full 2 minutes of Corey Feldman in it.
I think you just ruined the surprise or the horror of that movie. Yeah, I think you did.
Is it a spoiler?
I think it is.
It's an enticement.
Oh, an enticement. I see. Nice.
Can you spoil Rotten?
Oh. Man, low.
Yeah, I guess it's about like 6 teenagers who get trapped in a mansion and with a demon who's possessing them, and it's trying to open up the gates of hell. And it has Corey Feldman. In fact, the title isn't 6 degrees of hell. It's Corey Feldman's 6 degrees of hell, despite his 2 minutes.
Wow. Well,
I don't think there's an apostrophe S, but I might. Oh.
I was about to say, was he like an executive producer or something?
I think it's the viewer's 6 degrees of hell. But, you know, we always like blow this when we do the introduction. We always put the thing that's probably the best seg at the beginning.
Right.
And then we have other things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I was wondering why you started off with this.
Yeah, that's true.
No, because I said I was going to and nobody stopped me.
No, you said the Cabin in the Woods first and then Corey Feldman.
No, I didn't.
Then you said it wrong.
But this is quite I mean, 6 Degrees of Hell is about a haunted house. It's actually filmed mostly in a haunted house, or haunted hotel.
Yeah, an actual one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the thing I read, though, said haunted house attraction, which to me sounds like it was either built or, you know, I mean, not saying I believe in ghosts and haunted houses, but calling it a haunted house is one thing. Calling it a haunted house attraction makes it sound even more fake.
Well, apparently it was a hotel that had a string of murders in the 20s and 30s. Murders and or suicides. And so because of that, it was later bought not to be a hotel, but to be an attraction as a haunted hotel.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes, whether, you know, whether or not there are actually ghosts there, who knows, but, yeah.
Ghostploitation, because I'm sure the people who bought that attraction are paying the ghosts.
Exactly. So, Cabin in the Woods.
So remember when Josh was walking us through the entire movie of Cabin in the Woods?
I thought a walkthrough was also called a spoiler.
Yeah. So we left that on the cutting room floor for the listeners.
Unfortunately, I couldn't leave what I heard on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, we couldn't cut it out of our brains. But I decided to watch it anyway. And it's not bad. It's a good movie. It is, however, not a horror movie.
Really? What would you classify it as then?
I would say comedy. I would say it's on par with Army of Darkness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You guys didn't find Army of Darkness scary, did you?
No.
Maybe as a kid, no.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Like, is it overtly comedy, or is it just kind of funny horror situations?
Or is it Corey Feldman so bad this is hilarious?
The rubber monster kind of thing.
You know what we thought was the twist in the movie, and we thought he spoiled it?
Right.
It's more like the premise, and I'm not going to spoil it for people, but I actually, after watching it, I listened to this other podcast called Thaco, and they have a spoiler club, so it's, you know, very open about that they are going to spoil it, and they encourage people to watch the movie before. Prior to listening to the episode. And they were talking about it, and they were saying that they were comparing it to Scream. One guy was comparing it to Scream, and he said that he preferred Scream because even though Scream is doing the same thing of setting up the tropes, the horror tropes, it's still a horror movie. Whereas this doesn't feel like a horror movie, it just feels like a send-up. And the way that the movie is structured, it's kind of, there's two different things going on. There's the comedic side, and there's sort of like what I think is supposed to be the horror part.
Okay.
And I think it's just because the comedic side is better. They have the better actors on that side, and it's a more, I guess, engaging part of the story. That it doesn't, it sort of takes away from the horror and actually robs the horror. They did a really good job of, they cast these two guys, Richard Jenkins. Now, he's a character actor. I think you'd recognize him.
Okay.
If you saw him. And Bradley Whitford, who was in West Wing. He played Josh, the, I think, Assistant Secretary of State. So they're, like, excellent in it. And they kind of steal the movie. So it becomes just a comedy as opposed to what they advertise, I think, on IMDb as horror, mystery, and thriller.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, from what I remember, it was billed as a straight-up horror movie. So I'm kind of surprised by that. And actually a little disappointed, too, because I probably would have been more inclined to check it out.
Well,
if I had time to watch movies.
Yeah, I'll keep the expectations down. Maybe they're, it's tough to get scared in a horror movie.
Is it one of those movies where you have to go in with low expectations to not be disappointed?
Well, that's what I did, because I figured, I know everything, and then you're watching it, and it's like the what we thought was the twist is really a premise. I didn't feel like, it's not like watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie and then guessing it straight away, because I think you're supposed to guess it straight away.
Okay.
So
maybe this is to make all the people who can't get M. Night Shyamalan twists feel smart.
Yeah. Did you struggle with Fight Club or Sixth Sense?
Oh, come on. I've told you about that time where my dad and I went to The Matrix in the theater, and, you know, Neo wakes out of his pod and Lawrence Fishburne has the lines of, like, you know, relax. You know, he's like, why can't I see? He's like, you haven't used your eyes. And some of the audience go, why he can't see? Why his skin all white? Why he ain't got no hair? And you're just like, oh, really? Come on. So after that experience, I do not put a lot. I do not assume intelligence in certain people, you know, which sounds terrible, but.
Yeah. Sorry, I get that from my wife a lot, too. You know, the opening shot of a movie, it'll show some guy, like, floating through space or something, and she's, why is he floating in space? Like, I don't know, the movie just started.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I get that a lot, too. Oh, really? Why is this happening? You just kind of look, and I say, I've been here the same amount of time.
Exactly.
Now I'm imagining, like, the George Clooney, Sandra Bullock movie, Gravity, and you like, just starts, and you're like, why is he in space? You're like, did you not see the poster for this movie? They're astronauts.
No, it's like, you think that you go to, like, the video store, and you get, you know, here's your video, and here's the synopsis of the movie.
Yeah, right.
Just read this on the way to your home, because you're probably going to get a lot of questions as soon as the movie starts. Well, I suppose Cabin in the Woods is our second haunted place, but not really, reference in our introduction, and that's a fitting seg to our topic of haunted houses. And we decided to divide this episode into sort of two halves. We're talking about a haunted house as a place, a location, mm-hmm. and talking about a haunted house as an entity. So we're making the distinction that when it's a location, it's really something that's there that happens to be in that location. That's sort of the main antagonist, the thing that's doing the haunting. Whereas when it's the entity, the location itself is the force mm-hmm. and the main antagonist.
Right. So in the first one, you're obviously talking about a ghost inhabiting a house, and the ghost is the problem. Where, you know, as an entity, it's actually the house that
or
is the thing
I?
You have to deal with. I think you are.
But only?
Well, okay,
let's find out. Let's talk about it.
All right.
Wayne obviously never read the script.
There's a script.
So what are some good examples of a haunted place as a location?
Well, in doing the research for this episode, one of the things I found out, because I was trying to find a couple of Japanese locations, and I found out that the well around Himeji Castle, which is fairly local
ghost.
To me. Yeah, is haunted by a, as Chris said, dishes ghost. And supposedly this is supposed to be a kind of romantic ghost story, which didn't seem to be the case at all. But basically what happened is, long ago there was a female servant who was kind of enticed to be a lord's lover, and she refused. So to trick her or cajole her into being his lover, he broke one of these 10 special plates. And, you know, they kind of vary based on which story is being told. But, of course, he made it look like she broke the plate, and the punishment for a servant doing that was, just death. So, you know, he, of course, confronted her and said he would spare her if she became his lover. She refused, so he killed her in, again, various different ways, depending on the version of the story being told, and chucked her body down the well. So the reason she's called the Dishes Ghost is because she continues to try and count those 10 plates. So she counts to 9, then lets out this horrible shriek, and goes back down into the well again.
Yeah, I went by the well, I didn't see anything.
Now, what, did you go at night?
No.
There you go.
Must be. Okay, well, the example that I had was Ju-on, or the Japanese title is Ju-on, the English title is The Grudge.
Right.
Which is, of course, you know, with haunted houses that we're talking about, the ghosts and the house are rather entwined, but in this one, the house itself isn't really an entity, but it is cursed. Anyone who goes into the house, they will get chased and scared to death or eaten or whatever it is by the ghosts inhabiting it.
Hmm.
And man, it's the scariest movie I've ever seen. It freaked me out so bad when I saw it. But
I haven't seen that.
Oh, really? Well, it's be prepared. It's really, really, really scary. But it's a fantastic movie, so I highly recommend it.
Did you watch the original or did you watch the remake?
I watched the remake first, but I thought it was so good that I watched the original right afterwards.
Isn't the remake with Sarah Michelle Gellar?
It is, yes. Yeah, and the remake is also very good too.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to watch both then.
Yeah, I recommend it. Yes, some of the elements in it that make it so good is it has the idea of the curse, where all you have to do is set foot in this house and these ghosts will chase you forever, regardless of where you go. So it's kind of cool because it turns the haunted house into everywhere. And the ghosts themselves, it's really nifty because when they attack, they come everywhere. So, for example, if you've been cursed with this ghost and you'll go into your closet, you'll open the door and it'll be there, like sitting in the closet, and it'll kind of like, ah, scare at you. And then you'll freak out, of course. So you'll turn around, and as soon as you turn around the opposite direction, then it's there again in your face, you know, ah, again. If you try to hide somewhere, you open your hiding place and it's sitting there inside the hiding place. Anywhere you turn, it's just there screaming at you. Oh, it's so scary. I love it.
Well, there's a couple of Japanese examples. Well, one is, was it Hanako-san?
Oh. No, Hanako-chan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's in the toilet.
Uh-huh.
But it's, again, although it is a toilet, that just happens to be the location of where she is. And I think that's, you know, kind of plays on the fear of just going to the toilet mm-hmm. a public toilet at night, which I suppose can be dangerous. And you gotta like, a lot of Japanese ghosts is very, like, very easy ritual. So, you know, with the, what Wayne mentioned, the dish ghost in the well. And you just need to say 10.
Yeah, I thought, she pretty, I thought that was pretty.
When she counts up to 9. And then she goes away, and then Hinako-san is like, you knock 3 times on her stall door.
Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't there like a little chant you have to say too? Something?
In some of the versions, she sings the chant as she's coming out of the toilet, and that's when you have to knock. In other words, you have to sing the chant to keep her away.
Right.
Right.
But I think just to clarify, when you say toilet lie, you don't actually mean, because I think most Americans and North Americans think that you would actually mean the actual bowl.
Well, she does come out of the bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the stall?
Yeah, I was thinking more of the stall.
Yeah. But...
yeah, from what I've heard, she sits in like the 3rd or the 4th stall in any bathroom you go into, and if you're in there alone, she'll start singing and crawl out and eat you.
Right. You know, people are going, okay, what do we do when you knock 3 times? We've left them hanging. Often them no protection. You knock 3 times and say, are you there, Hanako-san?
Oh, yeah.
And she says, yes, I'm here.
And then you go find another bathroom.
Then you have a polite conversation. I don't know.
Yeah, he must really have to go to the bathroom to go through that. He'd be like...
yeah, right.
I mean, that's a good example because it's... And we talk about a place, but it happens to be the type of location.
Mm-hmm.
But this type of ghost can move from different locations. So that can also be a way to play that, where you're going to encounter a certain type of ghost in a certain type of location, but it can change, like, from a mundane location suddenly becomes a haunted location because the ghost has moved there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not like the one stall in all of Tokyo, and you're like, well, that's pretty creepy, but yeah, we don't need to go to that anymore. One stall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go to any other bathroom except that one.
You keep peeing there and go to the stall next to it.
That being said, and like you said about like the little ritual, I was thinking, yeah, I'm not sure this is the case, but you know, having to go through the little ritual of knocking 3 times and asking if the little, you know, Hanako-chan ghost is there, kind of sounds a little bit like the Bloody Mary dare, could actually be, you know, kind of that urban legend thing about, okay, we kind of dare you to go do this, and you're like, oh, you know, it's a little bit scary to go do it.
Oh, yeah, but, being alone in a bathroom by yourself is scary to begin with.
Right, so. And then, you know, sometimes, not sometimes, but even, like, saying, you know, that little rhyme, you're just like, oh, okay, I'm kind of creeping myself out. But then what you said, you're totally right. The ghost being able to change places makes it more interesting, because now the ghost can be anywhere as opposed to, yeah, that one bathroom stall in Tokyo, like you said. But
yeah, same thing, like, with Juon.
But similar to that little ritual of Bloody Mary or the Hanako-chan rhyme, having that one haunted whatever that everybody knows about kind of turns it into a dare, you know? So I could see that working as well. I could see it kind of being a bit of foreshadowing where, you know, for whatever reason, and now you have to go to this place, and everybody and their mother knows that it's haunted. So... I think you'd have to work it so it didn't seem railroady, but I think you could do it where the ghost can pop up anywhere,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and it's also one specific place.
Well, I mean, I'm starting to move away already, but talking about that reminded me of the movie The Ring, which I think is even more famous than The Grudge,
right?
Mm-hmm. And more familiar with people. So you're looking at people coming out of a particular ghost coming out of TVs. So it's a common item or a common location, such as a toilet or a TV, and the ghost is kind of using whatever means to move from those locations or those items, and they can kind of jump around the city or jump around whatever. Mm-hmm. So although, I mean, that can create some tension. You walk into a room, there's a TV, smash it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What are you going to do with a toilet? I mean, is the ghost going to go into the toilet? I mean, in the house? Is it in your apartment now? So it can create... It's a haunted house, in a sense, but it's also a chase scene.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, yeah. And another version is, you know, the haunted highways. Japan's version, they've got, like, this car tunnel near Tokyo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
and there's a ghost of kids, and you shouldn't pick them up.
Hmm.
Of course, they probably don't look like ghosts of kids. They're like right. kids, but you don't pick them up because they're going to kill you and you'll disappear. And of course, the United States and other countries have different haunted highways, and it's always some story. Like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that highway, but it just happens to be where this ghost is, for whatever reason, occupying.
Hmm.
And then, of course, the urban legend, they pick it up, you know, pick up some woman and turns around. She's no longer in the backseat.
Right.
Yeah. The urban legend I always heard is where she asks for a ride home and you take it home and the family's like, but she's been dead for 10 years kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, right. That too. Yeah. So,
which is, you know, I think I mentioned it before, but yeah, Japanese ghosts are so much scarier than Western ghosts. Western ghosts give you a freaky experience, but man, Japanese ghosts kill you.
Well, apart from just having to yell, yeah, 10, well, finally.
Which, it's easier to get rid of them, but the stakes are much higher, I reckon.
I suppose that's true. And I guess even though she's not a ghost, I was thinking of that, you know, I think we mentioned it before, maybe last year for the urban legend one, that slit mouth woman. Where,
you know,
she walks around with the mask and asks if she's pretty, and no matter what you say, or if you say yes or no, you get cut and end up looking like her. But the way to get past her is to say you're late for an appointment and excuse yourself,
and then she
lets you go, and you're like, yeah, you saying that, and you're like, okay, Japanese ghosts are scary and will kill you, but
man,
they're really easy to get past.
That's a good example of one where there's a lot of different... A lot of different information on how to get past her.
Right.
So there could be misinformation. So of course, one of them is, am I beautiful? And you're supposed to say yes. And then she'll spare you. But then there's another one where you'll say, oh, I don't know.
Well, the one I heard, okay, if you say yes, she spares you. But the other one I heard is if you say yes, she says, well, then you want to look like me and slashes your face open.
Right. That's because it. Yeah. So there's another thing you can say.
I think it was if you were really polite to her, you could get away with it too.
Right. If you're really polite and say, oh, you know, I'd love to stay and talk, but I'm going to make someone else late. She'll be confused and let you go.
Yep.
But even that one, it's kind of a location that is mundane and kind of found everywhere. Cause I heard that sort of slit mouth woman was usually found in kind of dark alleyways and not alleyways that most people in kind of North America think where, you know, no one would ever really walk down them, but just kind of like, you know, narrow streets here in Japan.
I just heard that it was kind of like gloomy, rainy days because she often comes in a raincoat.
Yeah, so. That too. So again, there's another kind of tie to a mundane thing, weather phenomenon, you know? Mm.
This isn't a Japanese example, but what you're talking about earlier with like toilets and TVs and how they can show up anywhere. There was an episode of The Outer Limits that I saw way back when, and I think there's a movie version of it too, where the ghosts come out of mirrors.
Hmm.
And I don't, for me, actually, even since I was a little kid, that was always, mirrors always creeped me out a little bit, you know, thinking that there might be something on the other side that could come through. But it was a really interesting chase because some guy was being chased by this entity, like it was a figure in a black cloak, I think, that he could only see through mirrors. But it was neat because the mirrors kept getting smaller and smaller as he tried to block all the mirrors out of his life. You know, first he covered up all the actual mirrors in his house, and then he had to cover up like the chromed handles on his faucets and things like that. And as he went more and more crazy, and eventually they had a nurse come in to take care of him. And I guess the final step, spoiler alert, is that his image was reflected in the nurse's eyes, and the figure finally got to him that way.
Oh, he ruined it.
Yeah.
Well, he did say spoiler. He did say spoiler.
But it was pretty interesting how how it was almost inevitable. You couldn't really escape all the way down to the end, and I could see how you could play with that a lot with a ghost that uses some kind of common medium to chase after the PCs or have the PCs chase after it. You know.
Hmm. No, absolutely. Have you guys seen Prince of Darkness?
Haven't, no.
Prince of Darkness? No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Another movie Lyle suggests that we haven't seen. Conversation Stopper.
No, it's by John Carpenter.
Oh, okay.
It's in the 80s. It's supposed to be kind of a... Yeah, this thing called the Apocalypse Trilogy that starts with The Thing.
Hmm.
Moves into this and then goes into The Mouth of Madness.
Hmm.
But it's something where... Something's found in a location, but the location isn't necessarily haunted.
Right.
Same as The Thing, or is...
No, The Thing is, I guess, science fiction horror. This is more horror.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, like, supernatural, with a touch of science fiction, I suppose.
Hmm.
Well, I think that's a fairly, not that I know exactly what you're talking about, that's a fairly common theme about for haunting, is that you find or unearth some ancient evil, and that releases the spirits, demons, ghosts, what have you.
Yeah, it just happens to be a location for where something was buried, and it's the actual item itself or the thing itself that does that. So conceivably that can move. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can even set up base in that place because you need to deal with the whatever is there.
For some reason now I'm thinking of the movie Thor, the new one with, where they set up the camp around Mjolnir. But
obviously
that wasn't evil, but that's the first thing that popped into my head.
No, and that's a good example. I mean, they find, some sort of supernatural or unusual artifact, and they're creating the haunted house around it.
Well, that's brilliant.
Prince of Darkness, it's an abandoned church. And that's all I'll say. Although it is an old movie, but I don't think I'm ruining anything because it's right at the beginning.
Right.
But yeah, what Wayne says is a great idea. It's just they find it, and then they unwittingly build the haunted house around the item.
That is so cool.
Getting into and the thing made me think of this, because the thing about most haunted houses is, apart from Japanese ghosts and like The Grudge, as Chris said, but the thing is, once you leave the location or once you leave the house, you're usually safe. I mean, of course, there's variations on that trope, and sometimes as soon as you set foot in the house or as soon as you do something, you are forever cursed and you can't escape it. But if we're talking about a location, an easy way for people to escape is to simply leave, which is why in a lot of those haunted house movies, the guy saying, come on, let's just leave, is the one who gets killed first, so the other stupid idiots stay.
Now, what did he say? I didn't catch it.
Yeah. I think he was saying you should.
He said the leaves are pretty? I don't know.
Yeah. But as I said, the thing made me think of that, and it's kind of the remoteness of the station and the storm and the fact that there pretty much is nowhere else to go keeps the people in that location.
Yeah, but, good example would be like a ship.
Yes, that would be another good example.
And why it would be the place and not the entity, of course, but they're in some sort of ship. Obviously, it should be a sufficiently large ship, so like some sort of tanker or cruise ship.
Oh, no, a haunted rowboat. I said, oh, no, a haunted rowboat. Where shall we go?
That was pretty quick. And it goes through some sort of supernatural cloud or whatever, or Bermuda Triangle, and something latches onto it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they have that's something that you see in a lot of haunted house things, is there's for some reason they can't leave the house, even if it is just a regular house, the doors are all locked, the windows are all barred or something like that. There's a system, it's a offshoot of the Gumshoe system called Fear Itself, that's all about reproducing horror movies and haunted houses and things. And one of the pieces of advice they do is just put a really, really nasty creature of some kind outside, so if you go out, you're going to die. But again, in the same way that, if you jump into the ocean or walk out into the Arctic, you would as well.
Yeah, that's another way to do it. But I guess my question would then, or not would then, my question was kind of, if you're running this game, the thing that kills the story is people being able to leave. So you guys have come up with some good examples of, being on a ship or putting something really scary outside, or just saying it's kind of magic, you can't leave the house. But how can you kind of do that and not seem cliche or played out, or is that part of the haunted house trope and you just have to accept it?
Yeah, I suppose you have to accept it in some respects. It really depends what kind of movie you're doing. Like if you're doing something like Resident Evil or Biohazard, and I'm thinking more of the video game than the movie, but there's something very, very intriguing in it. And I'm not saying that the house is haunted or per se, but there's something very intriguing that compels you to go further and further regardless of the danger.
Yeah.
Or you could take an approach like, which is playing off of what you're saying about the larger monster outside, an approach like The Mist. I won't say too much because people really should see that movie because it's one of the best horror movies ever.
It is so good.
And, there's The Mist outside and the unknown that's in there. So you're kind of dealing with the unknown that's inside this supermarket, or the known. And actually that gets kind of scary inside. It's, I'm not going to say it's haunted in a traditional sense, but that, I mean, there's a constant play. Like, do you give up on the inside to and risk the outside?
Well,
and
I think
that plays throughout the, you know, the movie The Mist.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that
what's really nice about The Mist is how it slowly builds up the problems and the horror inside too, where eventually the choice to stay outside or to stay inside versus outside, you kind of change which one is the more dangerous situation.
All right. Well, no spoiler. All right. But I was going to say, being the being the only person here who obviously has not seen it yet, I'm going to go try and watch it this week. But it sounds like broad category here, the outside being a complete unknown is another reason to stay in the house. And again, I'm thinking of, you know, the thing where, okay, you could try and risk going outside, but your chances of survival are pretty much unknown, or the ship.
I think the thing is you can't.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the ship is you can't. If you have a haunted spaceship, you can't.
Well, yeah, even more so, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's Antarctica. You can only go so far a couple days, and then you're going to freeze to death.
Right.
Exactly. I think, and, but what you're, yeah. Sorry, like what you were saying, Wayne, reminds me of, like, a lot of haunted house stories start with, oh, it's raining. Oh, the storm's really bad. Let's run inside this house, abandoned
house.
That
looks real creepy.
Right. And then it's very, very slow, and I don't know how that would play in a game. Because people aren't going to want to invest too much time, because the player's probably going to know they're playing a horror game.
Right.
And they don't want to invest too much time of, oh, let's eat a meal.
Right.
Get cleaned up, you know. Okay, hurry along. In my pajamas, when's something going to happen?
You know, saying that, yeah, most players are going to know when they're playing a horror game, I hope. But I could see a really effective way of doing a haunted house is to drop it into another game where the players aren't expecting it, and so they have their characters do the normal things of, you know, getting caught in the rain, or for whatever reason we're going to stop here at this inn or this hotel or whatever, and for that one or two sessions it becomes a haunted house game.
Well, a couple points on that. Number one, rain never actually stops PCs, so you need something a little bit bigger than that.
Well, yeah, okay.
I've never had a party stop because of rain.
Well, I'm not saying rain.
No, I'm just saying. But I was reading a couple of forums about this, and one thing that actually got mentioned in a couple places was that you have to build in some kind of motivation for the PCs to not just burn the house down, because that is a fairly common reaction, apparently, when you're doing haunted houses games.
So if that's a common reaction when you have any kind of PCs, you're like, fire is there always their first answer.
Exactly.
Seems
so
like it.
So that's why doing something in the Arctic is good, because if that place, that location is also your life support. Same thing with a ship. But otherwise, you have to take into consideration some reason that, some motivation for the PCs to not just go on a rampage and destroy the house. Because, you know, it's not too hard to connect this place being the place with the spirits and the hauntings.
Right.
Though I haven't read it myself, some people were talking about the, it's called The Haunting. It's an adventure out of the Call of Cthulhu core book. And they give a couple of different scenarios where, one, there is a good ghost, or two, a person, that's kind of trapped up in the house that the characters want to help. And these kind of NPCs can help the characters learn the rules about what the ghosts are in this setting. So you can figure out how to interact and how to work with or against it. And also it gives them a motivation to continue like exploring into the house beyond just the sheer survival
right
aspect to it. So those sounded like really good pieces of advice.
Yeah, giving them a solid motivation, that's definitely good advice. But what you're saying about like burning the house down reminded me of Monster of the Week. And in that game, mm-hmm. all monsters, be they ghosts or whatever, have a weakness. And unless you defeat the monster with that weakness, well, then you haven't defeated the monster. And I could see that being a way to kind of solve the let's just burn the house down problem. It's like, great, you burned down the house. You didn't do anything about the ghost. The ghost is still there. You know,
it's like in The Ring where the little, where they dig up the body and like, you're not supposed to help her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
So, I could see that working. It's just, oh, now it's a haunted, burned out lot. Mm-hmm. It may be that not that interesting because there aren't any rooms to get lost in or explore. You're just like,
oh, no, I'd say expand. You know, the house was keeping them there on the location, and now that it's burned down, they're free. They can go anywhere.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Yeah. Then you're just like, oh, great.
Yeah, I think Supernatural's got some good examples of that. The TV series has some good examples of that. Where it's, they do it wrong, like whatever the thing was, and it doesn't stop the ghost.
Right.
But yeah, it doesn't matter what you do with what's around it. You've got to do something to the ghost. Whether it's burning its bones or...
Hitting it with rock salt or something. Yeah.
All I heard was rocks right there. Hitting a ghost with rocks.
No, hitting a ghost with hitting a ghost with rock salt.
The operative word being salt.
Yeah. Not rocks with salt. Yeah.
We were also talking about whether or not a haunted house doesn't necessarily have to be supernatural, but there's just something, and I think we've already touched on it when we talk about The Thing, where it's just Antarctica, and Antarctica can be very, very bleak. When we look at a movie like Insomnia, and just how, you know, the way, you know, the eternal light or eternal day,
right,
or in the other half of the year, the eternal darkness, and how that will play with people's minds. If you look at something like, and I guess, well, this is adding supernatural back in, but, you know, like 30 Days a Night, and that just makes it easier for the vampires, of course, supernatural. Mm-hmm. But you just have something that's so bleak and depressing that, in a sense, it acts as the haunted house. I mean, you can be looking at like a post-apocalypse setting. We talked about The Road, everything. I mean, this constant struggle. And you can use the same psychology rules that you'd use in like a supernatural game. Just people just dealing with that kind of environment and dealing with not necessarily supernatural people reacting to the environment or in that environment, but just like crazy people.
You know, actually, that reminds me of something that I read in a comics online comic strip quite a while ago called Schlock Mercenary. Great sci-fi comic strip, by the way, if you're interested. But it was where the crew, they boarded and got on this brand new ship, and it turned out that the ship had an insane AI running it. So it started out with these weird kind of haunted, weird voices coming through the speakers at night, and doors opening and closing on their own, and it kind of built and built and built until they eventually dealt with it. But yeah, that was really, really interesting. And it's a way that you could have a non-supernatural haunted house. Though I suppose that kind of twists it more into the character, because the ship itself was being controlled by the AI, so it was kind of the primary agent of the haunting rather than the ghost itself. So there are a couple of games that try to do this too. Pathfinder, since, you know, we've been reading the Pathfinder rules for the game recently, it has what are called haunts, which are an attempt to kind of build a ghost mechanic into the game. And the way it works is it's basically the same mechanics as a trap, but instead of just damage or something like that, it'll mimic the effect of one of the spells, and then it'll add on flavoring like a haunted house kind of thing. For example, one that I saw was bleeding walls.
So basically it's a spell trap.
Basically, yeah. But it dresses it up like a haunting thing. Again, the example is bleeding walls, where the DC is, you know, whatever, 15, 20, and if you pass it, you hear a soft sobbing within the walls. And in order to break the trap, you have to do certain actions, and one of the actions, for example, is to take down the walls and exhume the body that's held within there. Honestly, I wasn't too excited about it. It just seemed like a different way of dressing up traps, but a lot of the Pathfinder forums, people gave it really good reviews, so, you know, giving it the benefit of the doubt, it sounds pretty interesting. So maybe build up ghosts as almost like a trap mechanism in a game? Which sounds good, because if you make the ghost as an entity, sure, it can move around and it can attack and things like that, but if you build it as a trap, it kind of has that spook element to it that that goes over so well in, you know, horror movies.
Well, I see.
Well, I guess we're segging into, like, as an entity. Because I was thinking of another game system that looks really good, it's the Cortex Plus Hacker's Guide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the back of the book, they have the, heroic fantasy role playing.
Right, right.
And that's a fantasy heroic role playing. And that's a fantasy version of a Marvel heroic role playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or the heroic system that they have. And they have a bestiary at the end, and they include things like that we would consider traps as part of the bestiary.
Mm-hmm. So, like what, for example?
Like a poison dart trap or a cursed graveyard. Like they're listed with peasant mob, insect storm, shifty goblin.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't normally think of that as being in the bestiary. Yeah.
So like blade trap is next to or just above doppelganger, and right next to large animal, and below raging orc.
And then do they have large raging animal trap? No? Alright, I thought that was funny. Alright, keep going.
I'm sure it really sounded like cut out. I couldn't hear it.
I thought that was an interesting approach, and it's an approach that I think you'd need to take if you wanted like haunted house as an entity.
Mm-hmm.
Where the house itself is a problem, and I suppose Amityville Horror would be the classic example.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's doing something like I guess poltergeist is a ghost, but it's so attached to the house that it's the house itself. That could be where you tear down the house and then you build a new one, but it happens to be that location. It's on the graveyard.
Before you guys said that, it's the ground it's built on or the components of the house. Like, I thought the haunted house being the actual entity is cool, but you do run into the problem of, great, burn the house down, and we did take care of the ghost, because the place was the actual entity. But, again, I could see it even if, like, a couple nails, survived, and then nails get recycled or whatever, and then, the curse is still intact, and, the next house will grow into evil entity.
Well, also, don't make the house that vulnerable, If you try to start a fire in one of the rooms, one of the water pipes in the ceiling breaks and douses the fire.
Yeah.
And if the ghost is a house, it should have a way of defending itself.
Yeah, that's definitely something to do. Like, if the ghost is that entwined with the house, yeah, sure, I'm sure it can protect itself.
No, exactly. I mean, it's not really a house, but it's a car. It's not really a house. It completely isn't a house. But the book Christine...
Right.
Yeah, good example.
But when we're talking, and we go back to the ship example that we used before, the ship is the thing that's fighting you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get off or whatever. I like what Wayne was saying about the nail. And it can be something that spreads. I mean, imagine if somebody does, like an idiot. They blow it up or burn it down, and it's like, well, what did you do with everything? And it's like, well, I don't know, it's probably landfill now. And it's like, you idiot. I was like, what if they took those items? And now you have three haunted houses.
Right.
What if you have a whole landfill that's haunted?
Yeah, that'd be pretty spooky.
Little pieces of trash roaming around the, trash gathered into humanoid shapes walking around this town like zombies.
Yeah, and exactly what Chris is saying is, like, it has defenses.
Hmm.
Doors, it's gonna lock you in a room. It's gonna electrocute you. There's a lot of things that it can do.
Imagine
that would be so much fun to play as running it as the game master, because if you ran a short, you could really play the part of the adversarial GM, but limit yourself to what the house physically has available. That'd be so much fun. You like acknowledge, tell the players before, in this game, I'm going to try to get you as the house, but you can have a lot of fun with that.
I was gonna say that kind of almost reminds me of Cube a little bit. That weird movie Cube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously not supernatural, and I think there was someone controlling the construct they were in, but it didn't really have a way of fighting back because they couldn't attack it, but it was more like, nope, this house is going to get you. So.
Yeah. And you're right, because it really built in that kind of trap mechanism that we were talking about a moment ago.
And, I mean, this certainly can be frustrating, but I'm sure it's not going to put true fear in the players. But when stuff stops working, that they rely on, I mean, that could mimic the fear of a horror movie somewhat. We look at, it's an older system, but Torg, where they had everything under the sun, they had fantasy, they had horror, they had like primitive dinosaur land.
So how is this different from Rifts?
Oh, well, one of the reasons it's different than Rifts. I mean, they had the Cyber Papacy, and they had Nippon Tech, or they had higher technology places, which is great. So why doesn't everybody just be cyborgs with lasers, you know, laser rifles? And the reason is they can fail. So if you go into the Living Land, which is a very primitive, prehistoric land, with your cyber tech, it could fail on you because they're out of sync with the reality. And what is a haunted house? I mean, if we, we think about the natural world. So anything supernatural is out of sync with reality in a sense.
Hmm.
So things just fail. I mean, you could have the haunted house. It's kind of has some sort of temporal power, including like it's a castle. So only things that are medieval work there.
Well, that's interesting.
So you send in like that Black Ops team, and now none of your weapons outside of your knives work.
Oh, which good thing we packed that plate armor in our backpacks.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very frustrating, but it can, I mean, that's just the world, and you got to deal with it.
Hmm.
Another system, that's... I mean, this is in the Invictus book for Vampire the Requiem, and they have a group of vampires that has a special bond to the land.
Hmm.
And therefore, they have the, like, this control. And I suppose you could say that, that makes the house or the place just a place, because the vampire himself or herself is the entity. But it's this relationship that they have. They're one and the same. So that can be sort of how you have a haunted house as the entity. You have something that can't leave the haunted house, but is able to control everything. So there is, like, instead of burning the house down, there is, you know, find the pulsing mass in the basement or something like that you can deal with.
I forget what book it is. Yeah. Was in, maybe it was the same one, but I think it was in that Havens of the Damned book where they kind of gave examples of places vampires would live. And I think in that book as well, they had a vampire that had pretty much become their Victorian-style house somehow and could control aspects of it and possibly even, like, vermin that lived inside it. So I think that's a pretty cool idea.
Well, the Smissies had that Theater of the Flesh.
That's just creepy.
Yeah.
As a recommendation, talking about house as entity, Monster House. It's a little animated 3D movie, came out a few years ago, but it's actually really fun. Because in a lot of haunted house movies, a lot of the effects are really subtle because, you know, for budgeting constraints, they can't really make the house move. But as an animated 3D movie, they pretty much go all out with how much control the house has over itself and its shape and whatnot. So I recommend it. It's a kid's movie, but it's actually really good.
Huh. I'll have to check that out too. But that, I guess, kind of similar to it being an animated movie. I mean, you don't have budget constraints when you're running an RPG.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah, good way to go. Also, another recommendation is I mentioned it earlier in the cast, House on Haunted Hill. That's probably one of my favorite haunted house movies, and one of the really, really good parts about it is that they don't show the ghosts at all. It's kind of the opposite of Monster House. Everything is alluded to by the actors, their reactions to it, and things that show up when the lights are turned off and when it turns back on. You know, there's writing on the wall or a statue has moved or something like that.
Hmm.
But it's really, really well done, despite not relying on any kind of special effects. So it's kind of the opposite way to go with things.
That sounds
very good.
That sounds like it'd be good inspiration to kind of figuring out how to narrate that mundane stuff that is creepy but still totally explainable, but you know, freaks people out in horror movies. So
they have a Van Helsing kind of character, the person, the expert who knows about ghosts and the paranormal and whatnot, and he does a lot of explanation to it, and his explanations really heighten the experience because he goes on about what kinds of paranormal entities there might be that might be doing this, and it feeds your imagination as to what could be going on. And I'm talking about the old black and white version, by the way, not the new one. The remake was crap.
Hmm.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's overly CG crap. Beautiful teenagers running around from scary computerized ghosts.
Well, I think, isn't that a lot of horror movies? Beautiful teenagers running around from something?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, you know what we forgot to mention?
What's that?
The haunted hospitals.
Cool.
I think the States has it as well. I mean, the setting for The setting of the inspiration for Session 9 is supposed to be haunted. And Session 9 is one of the best horror movies of all time. And that would be interesting to watch just for any haunted house game that you're planning to run, whether you're thinking of as entity or as location. And that's set in a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, condemned psychiatric hospital, so that's the double whammy.
And it makes it even spookier.
Yeah, hard to get a much creepier location than that, huh?
It's even one of Japan's biggest theme parks, Fuji-Q Highland, has a haunted hospital, not a haunted house.
So you mean it has a haunted hospital attraction as opposed to a haunted house? Like where we would go to a haunted house, they have a haunted hospital.
Yes.
Wow.
I thought I didn't need to say it was an attraction.
Okay. Do we also have to say that ghosts aren't real?
Apparently to you we do.
They got tons of haunted schools around in Japan as well. Fake
yes,
ones,
they do, because they seem to have a lot of abandoned schools.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, the population is a lot smaller than it used to be. But I think the main thing for it is that most of the people who go to haunted houses are high schoolers, and especially teenage girls and such who love to go and scream. So schools are probably a popular location because of that.
Oh, I'm so frustrated with school, and hey, a haunted school where I can go and scream out my frustration from being scared. Perfect combination.
It's just like a regular school, but they have tests every day. This is unrelated, but one of the blogs I was looking at had a really cool idea for a haunted house. It was a haunted skyscraper. And the idea was once you get up to the top floor of the skyscraper, normally, you know, you'd see all these vast, big windows. You could have this great view of the city. But they twisted it around to where all the views out the windows is how the ghosts see the city. So it's all, like, twisted and warped, and some of it shows really old period type pieces. And, yeah, it sounded like a really neat environment to do. Especially if the elevator is shut down in a skyscraper, man, you'd be stuck up there. Well, or with stairs and stuff.
And then they can turn into a slide.
Yes. And then it's fun.
Yeah, until the ghosts come out, and then it's spooky again.
Yeah. There's a couple movies that might be good inspiration for that. 13th Floor.
I never saw that one. Was that good?
It's actually a good movie. 1999. Not so much a horror movie as it is like a science fiction movie or a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some strange things going on in the building. Remember Dark...
The Shining, of course.
Yes, The Shining, of course. Oh, you remember Dark City?
Oh, I love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, and everything just changes.
Mm.
So that would be really hard, because players tend not to remember where things are. Mm. So, if the city changes or the house changes, they'd be like, oh, okay, fine. And you're now at the place where the bar used to be. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. No, I think that could work. It would just have to be kind of like a slow build where, you know, as you said, Lyle, players don't really tend to remember where things are. But if you kind of constantly dropped in the description of you know, what was around it, and it was always different, I think eventually they would start to pick up on that. And I think that could be pretty interesting if done correctly. It's using the player's intent, using the player's kind of tendency against themselves a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that that could be a way to give clues that maybe the problem is not an individual. The problem is the actual place. The place itself is the main antagonist.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's manipulating things, and that's just kind of an overt way it manipulates things.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it maybe like seizes control of people and makes them crazy. I mean, we were talking about last episode how inquisitors use, you know, threats and that to make innocent people do bad things.
Right.
Yeah.
And the house or the city or the ship or makes people crazy, so then you don't know who's going to be against you and who's going to be with you.
Hmm.
That could be a lot of fun. At certain times, you just kind of pass out notes to all the players, but one of them gets the "you are possessed" note.
Yeah.
And have to act strange or something.
Well, again, it could be like the players are immune to it a little bit, you know, where they'll never get that note. It'll just be the people they have to deal with. And you never really know what mood the people are going to be in when you deal with them.
Or they make secret roles, whatever, like a will roll or... whatever system you're using, and they all make secret rolls. They're not allowed to tell the other players, and they're not allowed to say what they rolled, and they just write it down, pass it over to the game master. The game master then passes sheets of paper to everybody, which they're not allowed to show anybody, and then, you do that as, a regular thing, it's part of it, but at some point, it's just like playing Russian roulette. Somebody can make the wrong roll, and suddenly their sheet of paper says, you're now going to work against everybody else.
Yeah, you could play. It's almost like a Battlestar Galactica, the board game, inside an RPG. If you had a bunch of role players, you could have a lot of fun with that. Actually, if you took the premise from that Corey Feldman movie, The 6 Degrees of Hell, where there's some kind of demon who's trying to open up a gate to hell or something along those lines, where the ghost has some objective, so they are like jumping between person to person, but they don't want to be found out at the time. So when you pass it the person that they are possessed, you let them know, you have been possessed, but even though you are the ghost, you don't want the other people to find out. So try and bend them towards going in this direction or doing this kind of action.
That's good, because then, overtly. I mean, you're saying jumping from person to person, then once the players start to get suspicious, it can just so happen that the thing will jump to another person.
Yeah.
So then they have to re-earn the trust, and I mean, it seems that the party is getting smaller and smaller, even though the actual entity, and they don't know that, is only one, and it's just moving from there.
Like moving. I think that could be so much fun.
I think that also kind of solves the solution of just burn it with fire, because if the ghost can jump and it leaves the person unharmed, well, then you can't really just kill the person, because, hey, the ghost will just jump before you kill him, and you've just killed an innocent person. Good job.
Yeah. How do you burn it when it is us?
It's very deep, Chris.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good tagline. Except people would be wondering, burn? What? Why are we burning? What are we burning?
Not us. Oh.
No, yeah, that would be pretty good. All right, and that has nothing to do with haunted hospitals. Wow.
Yeah. Just kind of realized that.
It's like, haunted hospitals again. Yeah, which is one of the things we wanted to talk about. But I guess there's nothing really to say other than it's set in hospitals, so therefore, if it's a location, your ghosts are kind of going to be doctors and nurse ghosts.
Patient
ghosts.
Yeah.
Because honestly, patient ghosts are kind of scarier than doctors and nurse ghosts. Well, I guess not necessarily. For some reason, saying doctor ghost, I immediately thought the ghost was like, okay, stick out your tongue and say, okay, here's a shot. Yeah.
If it's a Japanese one, you get plenty of those little Mizuko, the ghosts of aborted babies.
And as an entity, a hospital, patients keep dying because it's a vampire.
Right.
There's a vampire in the hospital. No, the vampire
is the hospital.
There's
your other tagline, yeah.
What do you do when then you kind of give away the whole thing. I don't think a tagline's supposed to ruin the movie. What do you do when the vampire is the hospital? Well, what?
Just like... Hey, well, come on. I'm sure the movie would be called something like Blood Bank. I wouldn't give it away. But
yeah.
No, but if the hospital was the entity, then think of how many more resources it has at its disposal than a normal house.
Flying scalpels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually.
Yeah, it's like the x-ray machine, but you don't have the lead vest. So you're going to be like, oh, I'll never have kids. Oh.
Jeez.
That'll really put the fear on the players. I'm pretty sure I may be sterile now.
Now all these like snaking stethoscopes trying to choke people, or those blood pressure cuffs. It just keeps tightening. No,
look,
God.
Look at my blood pressure. It's off the charts.
That would be
the
awesome.
Charts.
The blood pressure thing going around somebody's neck and just kind of pumping itself up.
Now we've turned it into a ghost comedy. All right.
Okay, well, that ends our episode on haunted houses, which also extends to just really haunted locations. And talking about whether you should play it as a location that happens to have, say, evil things or supernatural things, or to play the haunted house as the evil thing or the supernatural thing.
I think both are pretty cool.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us again. Another IdleRedHands. Check us out online at www.idleredhands.com, IdleRedHands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website, or stream it through iTunes or Stitcher, or download it off of DriveThruRPG. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook, or just send us a message, because we always love hearing from all of you. And see you next time. Bye.
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 DriveThruRPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-Thru RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idolredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
So did you guys hear about in Japan news, did you hear about the new mascot for Fukushima?
Is it
where the nuclear disaster was?
Is it a big nuclear cloud?
No, it's an egg with wings.
Yep.
What?
His name is spelled Fukuppy. Yeah, let that sink in. In Japanese, it's pronounced Fukupi.
Yeah, Fukupi.
Yeah, but in English, it'd probably be pronounced a little differently. Fukupi.
Yeah. Why an egg, though? I mean, okay, the answer is it's because an egg is cute and Japan loves everything that's cute, but why an egg? Does an egg have anything to do with Fukushima?
Who knows? Maybe it's like new beginnings, something hatching new.
Right. I think they get to qualify for the new beginnings thing when they actually fix the disaster that's going on over there, you know?
It's almost getting to be, like, comedic levels. Did you hear about the custodian turned off like the water pumps.
Yep, and the news blamed it on a power failure, but it actually wasn't. He just turned it off. And
yeah,
like,
just some guy walking through and said, "Hey, what's this giant button do?" Push it, and the whole power system crashes, and the pumps turn off.
We haven't left haunted houses. We had Fukushima, the haunted nuclear power plant.
You can never leave.
It was a ghost that turned off the power.
Yeah, maybe they should do that. It's like a ghost.
That's better than, you know, power failure, when you're the electric company can be like, yeah, no, look, there wasn't one.
What was all that steam coming out, ghost?
Ghost, yeah, ghost. That's not plutonium. You ever heard of ectoplasm? Jeez.
Yeah. We're going to get the Ghostbusters. Isn't there going to be a lot of radiation? I wish, because ghosts hate radiation.
That just helps trap the ghosts even faster.
Eat some of the vegetables grown here. We give you some resistance.
Oh, jeez.
It's funny because we're going to be eating those vegetables or have eaten those vegetables soon.
Already there, yeah.
You know the farmers that grow it, they refuse to eat it.
Yeah, yeah. They keep selling it to us down here on the island. I live on an island off the south coast of the country, so we only have one supermarket on my island, there's lots of foreigners and people who can't read Japanese very well, so they put a lot of the Fukushima product down in our grocery store.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Damn.
We don't buy that, so.
Wow.
On that happy note, how can we get back to haunted houses?
Yeah, right.
Did you also mention that your island is like practically a ghost town? So not only is it because big business has left, it's, hey, people are mysteriously dying from these horribly toxic vegetables.
Yeah, the city has a plan to dump a lot of the waste from the earthquake in Fukushima right off the coast of the island as well. So, yeah, fun. Radiation's coming.
Nice.
Yeah.
Seriously?
But anyway... Yeah, well, I think a lot of people rallied and protested against it, so I don't think it's going to happen, but originally that's... Because there was a humongous earthquake here in Kobe, you know, like 20 years ago.
Right.
So during that period, Kobe had tons and tons and tons of trash, you know, the entire city was leveled. So a lot of other cities around the country helped out, including up in Fukushima, to take care of the trash to be shipped off. So it's kind of reciprocal, and Kobe feels... You know, we have to help out the rest of the country since they had a bad earthquake too. But, you know, Kobe's wasn't irradiated.
Exactly. So. That's my point. It's like, okay, we gave you trash that's probably not all that dangerous. That does not mean we're going to accept nuclear material.
Exactly. Well, it's not like they're going to dump the control rods, you know.
Well, no, but coast, still. But,
yeah.
Anyway.
So, anyway. Yeah.
What gaming system would you use for this?
I don't know.
Because it always ends badly.
Whatever would do the road best.
I guess it.
Remember how we talked before about how that game would be so depressing?
Right, and then we're talking about where Chris lives.